to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome to Adventure in History. My name is Kaya Quill. I'm 6.5 years old.
Nice
six
job.
6.5. Wow. I thought you were like 7.5. Are you really only 6.5?
Yeah.
Kaya's wanting to make up. She asked me the other day how many more shows her sister's been on.
Oh, are you catching up?
And so,
do you want to be on the show more than your sister?
Yeah, she's nodding.
Okay, we'll have to work on that, okay? All right. That was excellent. That was a very good job.
This is summer childcare, by the way. This is how it works. Guess what we're doing today, kids?
They love it.
Yeah.
They have it in the blood from you.
They do. But they definitely would like, they'd prefer the TV to the radio.
Although I would say Mark kind of has it in his blood too, just not broadcast necessarily, but he certainly likes talking in front of a crowd.
He does. Yeah, my other child's at Camp Quanalong, first time.
Oh, fun.
We had the board chair of Camp Quanalong here a couple weeks ago. She was great, learned a lot about the camp.
But yeah, that was fun.
All the fun things that they're doing. And so, yeah, she loves it. She's doing the day camp, but she's already sold on the overnight camp. I never did camp. Did you? You must have.
I did Boy Scout camp.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I mean, every summer.
And was that at a camp or do you camp, like
no,
in a tent?
My troop growing up, we were a camping troop, so we had an outing every month. Even in the wintertime. But we went to, back then, our summer camp that we went to was about 3 hours away. A lot of camps, like locally, well, no, actually locally they're not this way, but a lot of other Boy Scout districts, councils that I've been used to, the camp is like 20 minutes away. So they're camping there all year round. So summer camp isn't special. For us, it was special. It was the one time a year we'd go. And for us, it was 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's
always amazed me with my son's experience that they would get like the same number of things done in a week.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, earning merit badges and things, I would come back with only half done on the three I attempted. And I'm like, 'cause there's so much stuff to do. We were doing all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
So.
And they could do it too.
But no, from age 10 until age 17. And then I went as an adult the next year, 18. And then 2 years later, I worked in that camp.
Oh, fun. And that's what I'm hoping Carly will do, too. She's already, you know, she knows some of the counselors in training, which are kind of like the middle schoolers, early high schoolers to the actual counselors.
There is something about camp camaraderie,
mm-hmm.
working on a staff.
Right. No TV, no phones. I mean, that absence of technology. Also rain or shine, which really kids, you know, they of course they like it when it's sunny, but... Mm-hmm. It's okay when it's not sunny, too.
I think the summer that I worked on my camp staff, I decided that I made 8 cents an hour when I looked at the entire summer and how many hours I put in.
Sure. These are things you should probably not do as an executive director of a historical society, too.
Yeah. Oh, come on. We pay at least 12 cents an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Never average it out to how many hours are actually worked.
So I was here last week, but I was gone 2 weeks.
I know.
So we have a lot to catch up on.
We do.
But should we get rid of the history highlights first?
Let's do it.
All right. So these are things, and I didn't make a list of the 2 weeks that you did history highlights.
I know you were ready to.
I do remember laughing as I was listening to them. And like when you would begin it, I would think, does she know why that's significant or why did she pick that? I wouldn't have picked that.
Well, it was significant to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
You did not do a bad job.
I did not do a bad job. Oh, that's a terrible compliment.
And that's what I always love when somebody says, you know, how is the food? Not bad.
Not bad.
That's not a compliment.
Right.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always loved that. Not bad. So no, you were just not up to my level of expertise that I would choose to believe I have.
Well, and I am not a historian
either. Exactly.
So
although I do believe anybody can be an historian.
Okay.
Just like anybody can be a painter. It's just some paint better than others.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
So I don't like the college ivory tower of history or some large historical societies that, you know, aren't sure if they even want you coming to look at things.
Right. Oh, yeah. No.
Because we're storytellers.
Yes.
That's what his story.
The stories. Yeah.
So it's about stories. All right. So these are things that happened tomorrow, June 29th. So I'm going to read this one, and you know that I'm really not into European history, so I'm going to let you guess why I included this one.
Is this my learning?
And you can laugh the minute you realize why I put this one in there. So 922, the Kingdom of the West Franks crowns Robert I as King of West Francia after deposing Charles the Simple, also known as Charles the Third.
You put it in for the name.
I love that. Charles the Simple. Did he allow, I mean, if he's the king, was he really allowing that? I kind of feel like that would be like off with your head if I heard you actually say it.
Well, or maybe it was just written and he couldn't read.
Maybe. Charles the Simple.
Okay. So,
and did his parents name him that? Was there just no trust in him? Yeah. So, or did he choose that? Anyway, because I usually make fun of like Peter the Great.
Right.
Like, really?
But yeah.
Charles the Simple. Now I kind of get why you want to name yourself the Great.
Right. Peter the Great's definitely a little stronger.
1613, Shakespeare's Globe Theater in London burns down during a performance of Henry VIII.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize it was during the performance.
Yeah, during a performance.
Lots of candles. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1767, the British passed the Townshend Revenue Act, levying taxes on America, helping to intensify opposition to British rule.
Ooh, we didn't like taxes.
You can't do that. You can't do it without asking us, without talking to us.
Without representation. Yep.
1806, and I really should have done some more research on this, and I might after this show. 1806, Orkney woman Isobel Gunn sets sail for Prince Rupert's Land disguised as a man to work for the Hudson's Bay Company. Hmm. Her true identity is only revealed when she gives birth in December of 1807.
Whoops.
I kind of love this woman passing herself off as a man. I'm working for the company.
So, drinking a little too much, getting a big belly.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long does she
keep? Right.
And are they all fooled like right up until there's a birth?
It could be. Potentially, right?
Is she like not showing that much? Is she wearing heavy clothes? I mean, how far could you go hiding it? So, but anyway, I kind of like her already.
Yeah.
1891, the U.S. National Forest Service is organized.
Ooh.
1891.
Yeah, that's earlier than I would have thought.
I would have guessed it was like a Teddy Roosevelt thing.
Right.
So, like 1910, 1905, somewhere in that range.
Right.
All right, 1940, Batman Comics. The story is mobsters rub out a circus highwire team known as the Flying Graysons, leaving their son Dick an orphan. And, of course, Dick Grayson is Robin.
Oh.
He gets adopted by Adam West.
I didn't know that origin story.
So that's in 1940. That's when they create Robin.
All right. Every Batman needs a Robin.
Do they?
Oh, well, I mean, I think he didn't hurt Batman. Didn't he help him?
I don't know. I didn't read those comics enough.
Oh, well, I didn't read any of them.
I know. But I figure you know Robin.
Yes.
All right. 1954, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission votes to revoke Dr. Robert Oppenheimer's security clearance, effectively ending his career as a nuclear physicist. Did you see the movie, Oppenheimer?
I haven't yet.
Oh, it's good.
I know. I've heard only good things.
There's a few, like, okay, but very minor.
Little entertainment stretches.
Yeah. But, of course, it's Los Alamos, New Mexico, and I love Los Alamos.
My parents
lived there for 30 years. All right. 1956, and this was almost going to be my history highlight of the day. 1956, the U.S. Federal Interstate Highway System Act is signed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. So he signs it with the idea, and this is how it gets passed, that it's for security.
Oh.
That we need long stretches of highway for planes to land if we had some kind of military invasion or, you know.
Highways.
So, yeah. So, but he really wants the interstate commerce.
Oh, okay.
And he wants people to be easily driving around because everyone's got a car now. But he hides it under, it's for defense purposes.
How interesting. That's the big sell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, that's crafty.
Isn't that fun?
That's good.
But 1972, and this is not my history highlight, 1972, the Supreme Court strikes down the death penalty in a 5-4 vote.
Oh, I didn't remember that one.
Back when Supreme Court cases were close.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But my history highlight of the day, and you can argue with me if you want.
I always like to.
2007.
Okay.
Apple releases the first iPhone.
Ooh.
Revolutionizing the mobile phone industry and transforming human communication with its sleek design and pioneering touch interface that allows users to pinch, zoom, and swipe.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. Yeah, 2007.
Isn't everything? And didn't that kind of lead to everything else?
Right, because we had the BlackBerry prior to that. Did you have a BlackBerry? Were you using anything like that?
I didn't get I didn't get any kind of cell phone until about 2010, 11. Okay. And it was because a few board members were having trouble tracking me down.
I love that.
And they basically said, you need a cell phone. So right. For like my birthday or Father's Day, my wife got me a cell phone.
Okay.
I fought it forever.
Well, and I don't, I mean, I guess I had a personal one, but certainly not a smartphone. But in television, I was still working in journalism at the time. We did get BlackBerries, gosh, I want to say, I mean, way earlier than that. But they weren't easy to use. But I would say that right around 2006, 2007, they were just thinking of switching because they were, the producers or the directors were wanting those of us in the field to send things back faster. So they wanted information faster immediately, right? Because there was still a delay in getting information to them. We had to have a laptop, right, with internet access. So we were usually confined to a van or a vehicle. But those phones, it was allowing us to get pictures back one picture at a time and even having scripts on it instead of on a notepad. I wonder if reporters even use those steno notepads. I mean, I had like hundreds of them. Yeah.
So tell me that, reel me this, Batman. So when you're on the scene reporting, are you reading something or have you memorized? And then the minute it's showing footage, you're reading something at that point when you're not on the camera.
Almost 100% of the time, you are reading something that's you wrote. So I, the reporter, wrote it and a supervisor read it. So it, even if you're at the scene. So I did have to get a script to them somehow, whether it was reading it aloud to them or sending it via a computer.
So you're facing the camera guy. You got a big old microphone in your hand.
And I had a script. But I had like notepads.
Reading it in your other hand.
Right.
Okay. See, I don't know that like.
Because they go to video. When they go to video is when you look down. So all you memorize is a sentence.
Okay. And then you're reading while there's footage play.
Right. And usually you give them a cue word. So as soon as they hear the cue word, whether it's exact or not, they'll cue the video.
Interesting.
But the live scenes, of course, there's no script. No, you know, that's where, you know, we've talked about before. I just didn't like that because you don't get as accurate of information, of course. It's very opinion charged.
It's very opinion charged.
So yes, there it was all written and then pre-approved.
So are you old enough that did you ever have a pager?
Oh yes. I definitely had a pager. And I even had a pager in television too. We had pagers. Yep. I had a pager in college. I remember having one.
I don't know that I've ever like explained that to my kids and if they would think that it was incredibly archaic and not realize that was cutting technology.
Well, or the notes that you could write, you know, I love you. Mm-hmm. Good night. I don't even remember what it was like. What? Yeah. 143. I love you.
That's funny. Okay. So, my gosh, 3 weeks ago?
I know. Yeah.
3 weeks ago. We had the Sony approved, Sony endorsed Short Circuit 40th anniversary and Goonies 41st anniversary. And, you know, it wasn't the Goonies 40th, so we weren't expecting 10,000 people or 5,000, but we had a really nice crowd, current estimates, like 1,200 or so people, tons of cast and crew and other folks in town for it. And what I really liked, we kind of pulled the lens back and it wasn't just Short Circuit, it wasn't just Goonies. And we are trying to do, I think, in the future, kind of a few movies at a time. Mm-hmm. If there's an anniversary, then we'll certainly focus on that movie.
Yep.
But it just seems like a broader audience and we don't want to do a Goonies every year and try to get 10,000 people. I'd rather have 2,500 to 5,000 every year.
Right. Yeah. I like that too. And it's of the same genre, at least like this year, right? You picked movies of that
80s.
Same sort
80s.
Of time period. And they had to have known about each other at the time too, yet wouldn't have always met each other. I mean, certainly didn't at the time.
So you and your family participated in quite a bit.
We did. I loved it.
So,
you know, Mark and
tell
I.
Me.
Yeah, we have such fond memories of the Goonies and Short Circuit and Kindergarten Cop, all the movies and Free Willy that are filmed here and have our own little stories. So we did make the kids. We made them watch Short Circuit.
And what was the reaction?
They didn't like it. They were bored.
Not enough action?
Not enough. I don't know what it was. I mean. But yeah, they just, they didn't hate it by any means. They are into the Goonies now. They've watched the Goonies now a couple times. It took them a couple because it was, I think I remember the first time I had them watch, I told you on the air, they were terrified. And I didn't remember, you know, like them putting Chunk's finger in a blender, right?
Sloth,
like,
Sloth is a little scary at first. Right. And certainly the Mama Fratelli, holy moly.
And the Fratelli brothers, So, but once you get to the end and you're like, oh, Sloth is the sweetest guy ever. We love Sloth. And the bad guys are caught, but they're still kind of lovable too, even though they're goofy. So yeah, so after that first time they, you know, they've watched it and they like it.
Do you think Short Circuit is just because they've seen so many robots since then?
It could be. And you know what's funny is it's similar to that movie WALL-E. WALL-E took can I say that on the air? The same image.
There are some similar similarities between the robots.
And so my kids, and they liked that movie. It's just, it's not a favorite, but they, you know, they were sort of expecting sort of the same story. But it's funny because that came up in one of the panels we went to. We went to the Short Circuit, the one that had the two leads, Ali Sheedy
and Steve Guttenberg.
And they talked about it. And they said, of all, because it's Pixar, right?
Yes.
They're like, you have enough money and you have enough talent. Why did you take the same face and make it? And so they were laughing about it. And
I wish somebody asked Eric Ellard, the guy that created the robot. That would have been funny.
Right.
I mean, his take on it.
Because he must have, like, the first time he saw it, he must have just been like, really?
That's my robot.
You made it really short. That's all you did. But the kids did great. So that was the first time they'd ever been in panel discussions. And, the actors did great. And we went to that one. And then we also went to the Goonies discussion, which did have one of the Fratelli brothers, Robert Davi.
And Mark Marshall.
Who was great. Yes.
I love that guy. And
I could tell why people.
Everyone should buy his book.
He had a standing ovation.
Yes.
When he walked in.
He is beloved. He worked for Amblin, Spielberg for years as kind of a production assistant or, you know, special assistant. He's worked on so many iconic movies, and his book, I should have the title in front of me, but we sell it at both the Film Museum and the Heritage Museum. It's like Droids, Whales, and something else. Goonies, Droids, and Whales, because he worked on Star Wars. And he's got so many stories, and so many people that worked with him love that guy. Sean Astin wrote the intro to his book for him.
And yes.
I think made him the godfather of his kid. He's just such a sweet, warm fellow, and he was allowed, you know, back before movie productions were looking at the special features for Blu-ray edition, that kind of thing. He was allowed to walk around with a video camera. So he's got on a lot of the movies that he worked on, just this amazing behind the scenes footage.
That's neat.
And if you go online and look, you know, there's the famous prank that Richard Donner, the director of the Goonies, was just, I mean, he had a love-hate relationship with all the kids.
Of course.
And when he was done filming, he told Spielberg, you know, thank goodness I'm going to my house in Hawaii. I'm going to decompress. And thank goodness I'm not going to have any of these kids around. And Spielberg secretly flew all the kids to his house.
I love that.
They gave him somehow, he got like the housekeeper or somebody to make him run an errand. So when he came back to the house, all the kids were in his house. Their luggage was thrown all over. They were like cooking food.
Oh my goodness.
He walks up and it's all on camera because Mark Marshall recorded it all. And like one of the kids runs out and says, you're out of hot dogs. Did you get some at the grocery store? And he just collapses, just laughing. Like, what is going on?
Oh, my goodness.
And Spielberg is off to the side just laughing.
Well, you could definitely tell he had a connection. Well, he loved what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
His career, he just was very proud of everything that he was part of. And then he had all these great relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
So Jeff Cohen, who played Chunk.
He zoomed in. Yep.
Can you explain how he started it?
Oh, how he started the Zoom. Well, no, I can't. He's really goofy.
Because I wasn't there, but I heard, and I've not watched it yet, because we did record everything. And I just haven't gotten all the recordings yet. But supposedly he asked, he was dressed like an Ewok or something. And he said, an Ewok, of course, is from Return of the Jedi, but he asked Mark, tell him about the time that we had to move sand into Astoria to film Tantooine.
You're right. And he had an entire monologue, and he was so serious. And of course, like my kids are like they have no idea who he is. He looks nothing like the character. And then he like switches roles immediately.
Yeah,
and,
he's so funny. I love Jeff.
Yeah, he definitely stole the show.
He is a delight to work with. And, you know, he's been helping us on these things since the very beginning.
Well, and Robert Davi, one of the Fratelli brothers, pointed that out. He said, you know, your name is on my contract to be here today. Or one of the contracts to be here because he's the top entertainment lawyer in Hollywood, which is so cool. I mean, this young child superstar made a career in another field.
So I didn't spend a lot of time with Steve Guttenberg, but good reports. But Ally Sheedy, everyone raved about how wonderful she was, how sweet she was.
And does she do a lot of events?
She does not.
Oh, so good for her. That's sweet. You know that neither her nor her co-star had been to Astoria since the movie?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's where I don't know that people realized kind of how special this whole thing we put together was.
Well, and also I don't know that the people that love these movies realize that Astoria it was special then, but it is not the same special shiny that it is now.
Yes.
Right? I mean, now there's a lot of places to stay that are beautiful on the waterfront, eat, great restaurants, lots of things to do.
Everyone stayed at the Thunderbird Hotel back in the day.
I mean, one or two hotels, right? Yeah. I mean, we were a kind of a dive of a little coastal town, a tiny town, which was very genuine. And it was a great place to film movies. That's why people liked it.
I like to talk about this is 40 years ago. So obviously Steve and Ally look different than they did 40 years ago.
Not terribly, but different though.
Astoria is a character in any of these movies.
Oh, good point.
That's what makes it special. And just like any of the stars, we've aged.
Yeah.
And you know, most would say for the better.
For the better. But, yeah. And it was a question that the MC asked, you know, what was their take on Astoria and the surrounding community? Because they also had gone down to Cannon Beach too. And to see that, you know, beautiful community that, you know, they did remember some of that. And it's neat because it's kind of like showing off our town. Aren't you glad you came here? And you know, maybe likely they'll come back just as tourists.
And that's what I love about these celebrations is it's not just an Astoria thing. It is a Clatsop County thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just none of these fans want to just come stay in a hotel and go to the lectures at the Liberty Theater.
Right. Yeah.
They want to experience the town.
They were everywhere. The t-shirts, I wish I could have just taken pictures of people's t-shirts all weekend long because there are some really cute ones, lots of custom ones, of course, or ones that people bought. We, of course, did come to the Heritage Museum. We had to with our annual pass, family pass. To look at because the original Johnny Five is here and he's still here. So if you missed the weekend,
he's here through the end of next summer.
And he's huge. That was both of my girls, their take was he was a lot larger in person, even though in the movie he's life size as well, but he's big.
Well, he changes sizes because he like gets taller.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, the angles.
I mean, it takes up a good portion of the museum.
So the amazing thing about that exhibit, we only got those things shipped to us 18 days before.
I can't even believe
we had to open that exhibit. So my team led lots of people on it, but led by Chelsea Vaughn, our curator, and Matt Powers, our facilities manager. They did amazing. And any museum in the world would be stunned at that timeline.
And then all the information.
They would just say it's impossible. You can't do it.
So aside from, I mean, Sony loaned you
They loaned us about six objects.
Okay. But there's tons of information and pictures. I mean,
there is.
Dr. Vaughn used a lot of
Some of the cast and crew sent us images that we were able to scan or documents and things that we were able to scan and include. And then, of course, huge shout out to Richard Bates, the owner of the Short Circuit House. This was a full-time job for him for a year and a half to 2 years.
And he loved
so
it.
Hard. Yeah. Yes. It was a dream come true for him. There was, you know, Johnny Five and the stars were at his house on the porch that he has restored that house to look like it did in the movie. And he's done everything right. He's gotten all the licenses and permits with the city. And it is just his lifelong dream. And he was we couldn't have done it without him. He was the heart and soul of the whole thing.
Oh, that's so fun. I mean,
so one other guy I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And then anything you want to talk about. We had Jason James Richter, the yes. kid from Free Willy.
Yes.
Now, I didn't see his panel. I know it was Mark Marshall, but I got to meet him and Mark backstage at the Liberty in the green room. And so charming, such a gentle soul, so nice, and was really genuinely excited to see Astoria
yeah.
and hear about the film museum, hear about the film museum expansion. He'd loved the idea of film tourism and that there were all these fans that wanted to learn more and experience it. And I mean, I obviously know he knows film tourism is a thing, but he was so genuinely interested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kept trying to flip the conversation to talk right. about the two of them because I kind of got waved in. They were having a really nice conversation. I didn't want to fanboy or interrupt. And Mark kind of waved me over and introduced me. And Jason was just so incredibly nice. And I just can't say enough things. And he doesn't do these. This was the, right. I think, the first Comic Con kind of thing that he's done ever or in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know that he's somebody that I would recognize on the street. But once I saw his picture, I was like, oh, that's the same kid. I mean, you can still see it in him. Is he still an actor?
No, he's actually, my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, he's a wildlife advocate.
Oh, my goodness.
For whales and other.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great way to use the celebrity. Think that's fabulous.
Especially,
that's,
I'm the guy from Free Willy.
I'm so glad you brought in those others because, again, these were like the same time period of folks. And I know that the fan base for the Goonies just span all continents and ages.
Yes.
But some of these other ones, like Short Circuit and Free Willy, I feel like it's a little more tighter of a group of those of us around our age. And
yeah.
And then we can still show the next generation because they're very family-friendly movies. My kids did like Free Willy. We did show them that one.
It's a good movie.
My brother-in-law Paul's in it. His boat's in it quite a bit. And of course, we recognize Willis and,
yes.
you know, tons of other people.
Exactly. Halfway through the movie, his three lines.
Yes. And Paul's right behind him.
Oh, my
So
gosh.
That's how
I'll,
we know.
I'll have to go back
It was
watch.
Kind of funny. We had to go back because Paul was young, like at 20 or something, and blonde, and his kids did not recognize him.
Oh,
they're like,
funny.
no, that's not dad.
You had to pause it.
We had to pause it. And Mark's like, no, that is your dad.
So two things that I loved as well, and I, of course, didn't get to experience any of them, but the workshops that we had.
Yes. Oh, yes. And those were small, right?
They were small, maxed out at like 50 people.
Oh,
so they were
nice.
Kind of intimate, but with puppeteers, with robotics, with screenwriting. And it was just such a great opportunity. And, you know, the Oregon Film Museum is an educational organization. And for us to do that, and this just wasn't sit in the Liberty and listen to the questions being asked of some stars and geek out over them.
Right.
But a chance to kind of learn and ask experts. So I'm really proud of that. And then kind of fun, we had the panel with, so you own a historic movie house.
Yeah.
And we had the owner of the Bayman, the owner of the Goonies house, Rich, the owner of the Short Circuit house, and then the owner of the Twilight house.
Oh, the one in Portland.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have loved to met that person. I want to go to that home someday. All glass.
All right. Well, I'm sorry
Bucket
I missed
list.
A couple of weeks.
I know.
But the weekend tried to kill me.
It's a fun week. Yeah, it's a fun event you put on. And there is one more big event coming up, the 100th anniversary of the column. A whole bunch of activities coming up.
And we'll talk about that next week. All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some mystery. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live on the web at kmun.org.